Hello.
Good afternoon. Is that Shirley?
Yes.
Jason Curtis speaking from Cape Town, South Africa.
Hi, Jason. Sorry, I'm gobbling up a piece of bread with hummus on it.
No, sorry. Yes, I hear you're doing the press thing at the moment, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guilty of that, so I'm stopping you from having a good meal.
No, don't worry, I'm being greedy, I'm just picking at what's left on my lunch tray. Don't worry.
But congratulations, I've had the privilege of only listening to the album, not owning it as yet, but we heard it yesterday for the first time, and yes, congratulations, certainly in order.
Thank you.
Good to be back?
Weird to be back, I suppose, but yes, not too bad.
I
think we're sort of excited and terrified at the same time.
Why would you be terrified?
I think it's just terrifying any time you put something on the line, you know. You take a risk, you put it out and shove it out in the public, and it feels scary.
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm sure, you know, your perceptions as a band is that you've got this great, you know, this great piece of art that you're pushing out there, and to you it makes, you know, it makes perfectly good sense that this is the next step for the band, but will everyone else get it?
No.
Yes
and no. I mean, I think we know we've made a good record. But I think we do hope that we can reach an audience. You know, I think that's always your hope. It may well be that, you know, we've released a record and no one really finds any resonance in it. I suppose there's always that risk, and that in itself can be devastating, because we've put so much of, you know, effort and time and love into our record. I think that's where these feelings of anxiety come from.
Sure, but I doubt very much that's going to happen. I can remember, I mean, when you came out to South Africa to play, I mean, it was... I think that Cape Town show was particularly interesting as well, when you had to stop the show because somebody threw something on the stage, and then I was lucky enough to actually sit and have dinner with you guys afterwards, I just think that, you know, all of that experience, did that come into play when putting this album together, you know, on the back of version 2 and the phenomenal success that you had with that?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the fact that we toured, you know, for so long and got to travel all over the world and go to places, like you say, like Cape Town and find that we had an audience there, and was really an incredible experience for us, and one that lent, we found a certain sense of confidence, you know, from that. I do think that helped our state of mind when we came into recording Beautiful Garbage. I think we felt really liberated in some ways. I think we felt we'd really proved ourselves on the last tour, and we could just enjoy the dynamic we discovered between ourselves and the band, and build on that.
Because you've almost stepped out of yourselves in to a certain respect, and I mean you can shoot me down because, as I say, only having gone through the album a couple of times, but you know, happy to, you know, explore territory that, you know, the Garbage to this point, you know, hadn't really exploited to any degree.
Yeah, I think there was a much more chilled out environment in the studio, and there was a much keener sense of playfulness, and we felt that we... it was necessary to explore new territory as a band. I think we also wanted to make a simpler record. I think we've really, in the past, made records where the production has been very much in the forefront of the sound, and the song's almost been secondary to that. And this time around, it worked in the opposite. The song was what was important, and the production was we used the technology in the studio obviously to augment the songs, but certainly never to overwhelm them.
Because, I mean, what seems to, you know, when I first played the album for the first time, I thought it seemed to come off being a bit lighter in some respects from a musical point of view, but still with with those cutting lyrics that you're synonymous with, or that the band is synonymous with. That is synonymous with the band. Yeah, put my teeth back in, I'll be fine. Yeah. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that I think opens you up to, as you say, I mean, obviously you want to grow that, the audience that you have and, attract new fans. But there's certainly no alienation to those who have been there since day one.
I hope not. I hope our fans can really get into the record in the same way that we have.
Mm.
I mean, I don't know if I would agree with the record being lighter than the previous two. I just think the melodies are stronger, and therefore probably that makes it seem more accessible.
Mm.
But I think the same themes run through the record and that have run in the previous two.
Mm.
It's just we've been a little more subversive in the way we've presented the themes, if that makes any sense.
You see, now I'm a fan, so you see, that's probably my failing, you see, is because I've been listening to, to the music since the since you started, so, which in some respects, when I first listened to it, I thought, okay, there's certainly something really, different here, yet, as you say, I mean, the core of what Garbage is about is definitely still there. But it took me a couple of listens to understand fully, what the substance of it was.
Right.
Which I think, again, is refreshing, because I think the title of the album, too, is very apt, because the album certainly shouts, beauty in a lot of different ways. How would you summarize that?
I don't quite understand the question.
I do that. I tend to rattle on, don't I? sorry. No. I mean, obviously, the title of an album is always something interesting for a band to sort of try and come up with something that works and does epitomize the album. How does "Beautiful Garbage" epitomize the album for you?
I think in some ways, it's just. We loved the wordplay. We felt it was it's an oxymoron, obviously, and I think we like the contradictory nature of that wordplay.
Mm.
I think because we feel, in some ways, that's what we do musically is we play around with the perception of melody versus depth, and I think we feel that you can have something that's more subversive, that is melodically, enveloping and beautiful. I think you can deal with nasty things in the world in a beautiful manner.
Mm.
It doesn't all have to be just about, primal screaming. It can be clothed in a beautiful melody or a wonderful atmosphere or a landscape, musical landscape.
And, I mean, this is an album that you could have, you could have done anything, really, as a third album. You could have taken it to a lot of different places. But it's almost as if you've plotted and tried it, as you have, tried new things. Was there any thinking behind, how you would test yourselves or, what sort of styles of music that you would sort of get into or try and include that into the Garbage sound for this album?
I don't think it's ever been that conscious. I just think your aesthetic is defined by what you listen to, what you like, what you don't like at times. Your aesthetic can be as defined by things you find repugnant as it is by things you find amazing.
Mm.
I think we just try and find sounds that really work to augment, the song. And I don't think we've got any hang-ups about using influences from other genres if need be. I think we're kind of open-minded in that respect. We listen to a lot of different types of music, and therefore our tastes are very varied.
I mean, does that come back to sort of the confidence that you feel now that perhaps in the past you wouldn't have, you wouldn't have tried that, and you were sort of perhaps trying harder to sort of say, well, look, we're garbage and this is what we do and we are different from everything else that's out there. Whereas now it's a case of we know that we are different, that we are unique. And
exactly. Exactly. I think it's just coming from a place of self-acceptance and confidence. Because I think you're right. I think we realised on the first record we weren't really like anybody else, and we felt a little probably sort of inadequate because we didn't fit into any particular genre in an easy way. And now we realise that this is a great thing to be unique, for people to switch on the radio and us have our own identity and be able to immediately tell a garbage song from someone else. I think we realise there's so many bands out there that sound, they could be anybody, they're homogenised, they're interchangeable. And I think we realise we have something unique, and we've come to really be proud of that.
And I mean, I think as a band as well, I think every band aspires to become as great as you possibly can become. You've become very successful, you've worked incredibly hard at it to get where you've gotten to. Is it a nice place to be, in the sense that you are successful, that you don't look at it now going, oh, I don't, you know, this isn't what I planned, you know, as much as it can be a wonderful thing. Is it all wonderful or is it tough?
It's like anything. You can't have anything wonderful in life without a little hardship along the way. I mean, but yeah, I think we feel really privileged, really lucky. It was certainly never part of our master plan, you know. We never had we never thought for a moment that we would enjoy this kind of success. The good thing about the band in general, I think, is that we never have taken it for granted, never have, never will. And we always feel that with each new record, it's a new beginning for the band. We don't sit back and say, oh, well, we've had this great success, therefore we're going to have a huge audience for our new record. I think we take each step at a time, and each new record is a new beginning. And that makes the whole process really exciting for us and keeps things really vital.
And I think the passion that you share, I think, as a band, and not to say that you're precious about the band, but you're very serious about what you do, and you're very serious about, you know, the players and each other. I mean, you know, that you care, you know, about your fans, but you care about the collective that is Garbage very passionately, and no one at any point should mess with that. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, I think that's absolutely how we feel. I mean, we feel like this is our family, you know, in some ways. I think also we're sort of tired of the... I think these are post-cynical, post-ironic times, you know.
Yeah.
I think we're really sick of that kind of, oh, we're so cool, we don't care type of ideology. I mean, you know what, we're not cool, we do care.
And, I mean, that comes from remaining humble in the face of... You know, I mean, you could become a monster if you wanted to, you know, because, you know, your place affords you that, but yet you choose not to, you know.
Well, I don't even know if it's we choose not to, it's just that we don't allow each other to become too charged by the trappings of success, you know. I think we're really able to sort the shit from the bull, in a way. I think we're really able to see what... I don't know whether it's just, you know, where we come from geographically, or whether it's just who we are as people, or the combination of people in the band, but I think everyone keeps a sort of a hand on each other's shoulder to make sure that nobody gets a little beyond themselves. I think we have to keep reminding ourselves of how lucky we are when we find ourselves moaning about the size of a hotel room or the speed of room service. It's like, hold on a minute, have a word with yourself, you know. 4 years ago, you couldn't have even afforded to have one night in the YMCA, so shut your face and get on with it.
And this album as well, I mean, lyrically, it's... I'm battling to find the words, but you have this knack, and I think it's your vocal delivery as well as the lyrics themselves. I think they touch so many of the, you know, of your fans that, you know, that listen to your music. And you know, you can't help but think these are situations that you sing about that you've actually been through, you know, and there's very few artists that, you know, that I'm aware of that certainly with me as a fan of music, that the lyrics are able to sort of touch the person listening to them in the way that your lyrics do. And I don't know what that is, and you probably don't know what that is either, eh?
No, I don't really. I mean, I hope that's what the lyrics... I hope my words can touch people. I think that's always, you know, the dream of a writer, is that you can articulate something for someone else, you know, who may be looking for that articulation in music. But I certainly don't think we ever assume that that's what we do. But to hear... You know, when somebody comes up and says, you know, I listened to your song and it helped me through a really hard time, through the death of a parent, through the breakup of a marriage, and, you know, it helped me when I was suffering from bulimia. That's an amazing feeling. I mean, I'd love to be cynical about it, but I can't be. It's just the most incredible moment, you know, to feel that you've participated in somebody's life in a positive fashion. It's wonderful.
And I mean, it's not an easy thing to do. I mean, and again, I sort of go back to, you know, and I mean, I could be completely wrong, but the sense of honesty that seems to ooze from each of the albums, that that people buy into it because it doesn't come across as being contrived. It's not just another pop rock album that's out there. It has depth. It's got, you know, it's got layers to it. And each layer will touch it, you know, every listener in a very different and in a very unique way, which is difficult.
Yeah, well, I hope so. Thank you. You're being awfully nice.
No, but it's true. You see, I mean, because I think, you know, as a band, to be able to offer something new in the state of music today, which you know, has there's so much going on, and there's so many different styles, and you know, and not to, you know, tap into any single one, but to be able to deliver something that touches on, it's almost like a snapshot of, you know, out of time.
Oh, I like that.
And you know, I see this as, it's sort of like the World Book, you know, Volume 3, you know. You know, and there's another 26 to come, I hope.
I hope so too. Make sure you put that in your piece.
I will.
Put all your quotes in. You put it much more eloquently than I.
No, but then you do that on record, you see, so... And that's for prosperity, or posterity.
Oh,
but
well, Jason, I'm getting the finger to wrap up on this one.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know if you have anything else you want to ask, but I've got 3 minutes, apparently, they're saying.
3 minutes is good. I'll ask you one more question, and then you can have another nibble on your lunch.
Mustard.
Plans for the year, besides the obvious... What are they?
I hope we're coming back to South Africa. I know that you'll probably think I'm just greasing you up because I'm talking to you right now.
It's okay.
Coming to South Africa was one of the highlights of our tour. It blew my mind. Absolutely was a very moving and profound experience for me, and I felt so privileged to be invited to your country and you know, get to experience the culture, albeit for a short time only, but nevertheless, it was something I'll never forget for the rest of my life. And I know the whole band feels the same way, and we're definitely coming back.
Good.
If not at the end of this year, definitely very early on in the new year of next.
Well, I think...
So come and see us.
Well, most definitely, without a doubt, I'll definitely be there. But thank you, Shirley, for your time. It's been a pleasure.
You too, Jason. Thanks so much.
And good luck with it. Not that you need it. And yes, all the very best.
Thanks, Chief.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.